The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Again, Alan Ellis here for the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And Chris keeps whispering in my ear. I don't know who this guy Mike is, but apparently he's hot because he keeps saying, Mike's hot, Mike's hot. I'm like, Chris, I don't go that way, but, you know.
I don't either.
But... Well, yeah. What's Mike have to do with it? Anyway.
Microphone.
Oh! It takes me a while sometimes.
Short for microphone.
I get it. All right. I got it. Hey, we got an email from Martin. If you don't remember what this is about, the young man, Mr. Beville, was his work boat, his waterman, his work boat was arsenated, burned to the waterline, I guess. And there's a benefit dinner for him. If anybody wants information on tickets, email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Tickets are $15, and then they have a LWRC modern sporting rifle on sale for raffle, and those tickets are 20 each. So what we'll do is email that information out to you of where you can send for tickets. So there's no website or anything like that, but we'll be more than glad to forward that to you if you'd like to support that cause. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. There's a bill in the General Assembly that would outlaw contest for, you know, like big buck contest and coyote contest and that type of thing. So I have a question for you. If you got three predator hunters that get together for a weekend up in Western Maryland, and they go out Friday night and they hunt coyotes, and they each get, let's say, two apiece. Then they go out Saturday and they each get two apiece. And they go out Sunday, and they get two apiece. So that's 18 coyotes that have been taken. What's the difference between that and having a month-long coyote shoot, basically, where people focus on coyotes in the off-season? And at the end of that month, they get together and they have a get together and they give some awards out and that type of thing. The difference is that the three predator hunters that get together for the weekend, they don't put any money in the pot unless it's private. Well, what if they do? What if at the end of that weekend and take those 18 coyotes and they weigh them and they say, okay, Bill, you put $100 in the pot this weekend. And we all put $100 in there. You win the $300. Is that a contest? Or is the fact that it's publicized as a contest a contest? The bill seeks, sponsored by the Humane Society of the United States, or driven by the Humane Society of the United States, and predator contests and other contests involving wildlife in Maryland. Ban it altogether. you know, we have the wolf fund, and now we have the coyote fund and all this stuff to get together to save these wonderful predators that just take such good care of our ecosystem, you know. And yet you talk to the farmers in Western Maryland. And I had one sad case, and I've got the pictures and the testimony of the farmer. The calf was being born in a pasture. And the coyote surrounded the cow. And while the calf was in the midst of the birthing process, the coyotes grabbed the calf by the newborn calf by the nose and pretty much forced the delivery of the calf. And once the calf was on the ground, the coyotes dragged the calf into the woods and devoured it. The farmer was able to take a shot, but he just couldn't, you know, he didn't get there in time, and he didn't kill any coyotes. QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association, just came out with new research, I think in Georgia or somewhere, about the diet of coyotes, and it's something like 50%, 56% deer, fawns are their diet, and full-grown deer as well. We have pictures of people who have shot a deer, went to recover it the next day because, you know, it's a cold night like last night was. They've shot the animal. They didn't want to drive it off the property, or they didn't want to push it. They wanted it to, you know, die at night. They wanted to go out the next morning, and the carcass has been stripped. Not a scrap of bone. I've seen pictures in Southern Maryland like that. I've seen pictures in Montgomery County like that. We had a deer that was shot. It was a poor hit. I was on the hunt. It was a young lady's first deer with a bow. The hit wasn't perfect. We tracked the animal to a certain point and gave up on it. The next morning, the entire back end of the animal was eaten out by coyotes. And we had heard the coyotes across the road that night, and we knew that there was a possibility of that happening, but we couldn't push the animal any further. So I'm not a big fan of coyotes here in Maryland. I've only seen a couple of them, and I've never actually harvested one, but there are people who are focused on it, and they understand the fact that these animals are top-tier predators. And we've talked about coyotes taking, you know, family pets, cats and dogs and anything else. They're very opportunistic. They don't care what they can take as long as they can take something. The trappers hate them. The trappers that are attempting to take red fox in their traps on the same property as coyotes. The coyotes will come along and find a red fox and kill it and mangle it in the trap while it's, you know, overnight, while it's, you know, awaiting its ultimate fate. And, you know, the coyotes are very difficult to catch by these trappers. There are some people that are relatively successful. But we do not know the extent, because there's been no study, because there's probably been no money to study the effect of coyotes on our white-tailed deer population, and in particular, Western Maryland. We do know that the numbers in Western Maryland have not been pretty, very spectacular when it comes to deer harvest out there. But, this idea to ban contest is a good thing. Also, you know, deer contest as well. What's the Farm Bureau going to do down there when they do their big, doe challenge in the late firearm season? They took 350 deer down there. Guys, I don't know if they put up any money or if they didn't have to put up any money, but they all got a ticket, and the Farm Bureau gave out 10 checks for $1,000 a piece for guys to, you know, to take deer. I guess they're a random chance type of thing. I'm not a big fan of deer contest. I don't like big buck contest. And I'll tell anybody I don't like big buck contest because I think that leads to poaching. But they're out there. You pay your entry fee and you go harvest a deer and you if they're a limited time period and a certain restricted to a certain weapon, and you know everybody's been has a good reputation. But if you just give a rifle away to the biggest buck, I'm not a fan of that. You want to have a deer contest and have everybody pay $10 and somebody comes in with a buck or a doe or whatever it might be and you do a random drawing, I'm okay with that. Is it legal? Not sure. But what do you think about a bill to ban all contests? All buck contests, all coyote contests? I used my example, those guys that, you know, put up $100 to go out there and shoot a couple coyotes, and the heaviest one wins. Or maybe it's the most. You know, who knows? Maybe they killed one guy killed five, and the other guy killed two, and the other guy killed three, whatever it might be. You know, whoever's the best predator hunter gets the pot. Is that an illegal contest? 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. Yep. Here's another one from somebody named Ralph. Oh, Ralph in New Delhi, India. Yeah, Mary's call regarding ticks was interesting. Just last week, I read about a book named Operation Paperclip. U.S. brought many German research scientists to America. Bioscientist Dr. Traub was one. I don't recall seeing any mention of ticks in the review, but further Googling supports Mary's comments and references the book. And that's from Ralph in New Delhi. Thanks for listening in India, Ralph. We appreciate that. The International Outdoorsman Radio Show on the air on WCBM 680. And that's our phone number, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And here we are into the second hour of the show. And I have to ask Mr. Chris if we've got anybody on the line. Hello, Chris.
I'm screening a phone call.
Ah, very good. We'll have a caller here in just a minute. Hey, let me tell you about Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. They're not in the shop today. They are at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show in Early Heights Fire at the Early Heights Fire Show, Fire Hall. Excuse me, today and tomorrow. But they do have everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing, and they've got fishing tackle too, bay, freshwater, snakehead. And now Bay Country Crabbing Supply has a hunting room complete with Hoyt and Matthews bows. Bay Country Hunting Supply is located 214 Mayo Road. That's in Edgewater, Maryland, with stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers and bait, and a full line of fishing tackle as well. Today and tomorrow, Bay Country Crabbing Supply is attending the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show at the Early Heights Fire Hall. For more information, give the shop a call, 410-956-0300. Waterman, bring your license for your discount, or visit the website, Bay Country Crabbing Supply. BayCountryCrabbingSupply.com. Clyde Sports Shop, they're open for business too. As fishing starts to pick up, Clyde Sports Shop will also be able to supply you with live bait and lures and hooks and weights and bobbers and any kind of tackle. They've been around 60-some years, so, you know, they're going to have something for you to go fishing with. But their fishing sale's coming up. It's called the Let's Go Fishing Sale, coming up March 6th through the 15th, Friday, March 6th through Sunday, March 15th. Tackle for perch and trout on sale, and you can save online. That's the main thing. You empty your spools out. You get that old coily stuff off your reels and empty that spool off, and you take it in there with your reel and say, fill this sucker up with premium monofilament line. I want however much 8-pound test fits on there, however much 10-pound test, however much 6-pound test, however much 4-pound test, you're going to get it at half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. Doesn't include braided line or Power Pro. Shakespeare, Ugly Sticks, Fluger, all on sale, all rods and reels on sale. And I will tell you, I'm very impressed with some of the Shakespeare tackle and the Ugly Sticks that have come out here recently. You might want to consider that as well. Spinning reels on sale. featuring the Battle 2 series. Fluger spinning reels, all on sale, featuring the President series. And both these reels have a, you know, anything from 1,000 up to 8,000, from ultralight to, you know, mega offshore stuff if you want to use that. Trolling lures are on sale. Clark spoons, sea strikers. That's the planer boards, and you can use that for, you know, the Spanish mackerel in the late summer, early fall. Kids fishing combos and kits are on sale too. If you got a kid and you want to take them fishing, why not stop by Clyde Sport Shop? They got a whole section, and they have these little kits with the rod and reel that has the panfish tackle in there, the trout tackle in there, the catfish tackle in there, and much more. And they have a large selection of St. Croix rods as well. Live and frozen bait and minnows, all available, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. We'll be right back after these messages.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got bud baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
Hey, I got a call from Fred. I mean, an email. A text from Fred. Hey, said, good morning. I've never fished in the winter until this year. We were out in Joppatown recently, did great on bass. using a Ned rig. I'm not sure what that is. Exciting for a few reasons. We caught fish, and a few years back, everything in the area was killed off. First bass in a few years. So that is good news, is it not, for those of you who fish Joppa Town? So, all right, 410 WCBM 680. I think we have Butch online. Morning, Butch.
How you doing, Alan?
Good, well. How about you?
Okay. I want to tell you about the first day of deer hunting I had. I live in Denton. I got 3.5 acres in the big stream behind my house.
Okay.
I hunt back there, and at 7:30, I see this four-pointer come by limping, not limping bad.
Yeah.
I said, I let him go. I want a, you know, a healthy one. So about 9 o'clock, two other bucks come down. I couldn't get a shot, and all of a sudden, one of them come out. I got a shot, and it ran down next to the stream.
Right.
I followed the blood down there, and the blood stopped, and I looked all around. No deer. I looked on the other side, no deer. I looked down the water. I seen about 3 or 4 inches of antler sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it went right to the bottom.
They do. Well, yeah. What happened is you made a very good shot on that deer, mm-hmm. And when it hit the water, you know, it just basically sucked that water into its lungs and down to the bottom it went. There was nothing there to make it buoyant.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of, you know, a good shot of the blood, a lot of blood and everything. But
yeah.
I looked all around and I said, man, all this blood has got to be here.
Yeah, well, and, you know.
I looked down in the water and I seen that little antler sticking up. I was like, oh, boy, I got you.
You got you. Yeah, I got you. Well, cool. Hey, that's great. That's a great story. You know, it really
is.
So,
I'm 75 years old, and I never had that happen before.
Uh-huh.
I either jumped a stream and went over, or I got on this side.
Yeah, he didn't make it across. He just kind of, that was it.
Yeah, so. And I was ready to give up, and I happened to look over there and said, damn, there's
how about that? That's cool. That's really cool. So,
all right,
man. Well, thanks for the short the story. I appreciate it.
All right, Alan.
So. All right, you take care, buddy. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Anybody else on the line there, bud?
No, sir.
Well,
all lines are open.
So well, 410 WCBM 680 410-922-6680. Apparently, my description was a little too graphic for one of our listeners. When I spoke about the damage done by the coyotes out there in Western Maryland, and particularly how it affected one of the dairy farmers out there, when the coyotes surrounded the heifer giving birth to the calf, it was a little too gruesome for some. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, in nature, we have predators and we have prey. And big eats little and strong eats weak. And, you know, I have no problem with a farmer protecting his crop from wildlife damage. Okay. I have a problem, occasionally with the methodology, and, you know, that type of thing. You know, we do have laws here in Maryland called wanton waste laws. And if you choose to shoot an animal and leave it lay, then I got a problem with it. Especially if then, further on, you decide that you want to lease your property after shooting crop damaged deer on it all year long. That's certainly your right. But, you know, your people who lease the property should be aware that you've been, you know, you've been hammering them all summer and all fall. So, but we have a free market system here in Maryland and in the United States, at least so far. I'm not sure what this General Assembly is going to do, but, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So, Chris, how was your week?
Wet.
Yeah.
And nice. I mean, generally it was really nice. It was just wet. I wanted to get out and if anything, just go sit in the woods for a little while, but I'm not ready to go sit out in the rain.
I don't blame you. It was nasty this week. I mean, it was warm, but it was nasty.
Yeah, exactly.
So actually, the deer harvest was up more so last year, believe it or not, after that dismal start, wound up with 79,457 deer. Western Maryland took a little bit of a hit. Allegheny County was down 17%. I wonder if coyotes had anything to do with that. Let's see where Garrett County is up, down 7.4%. Interesting. Everybody else was seems to be up a little bit. Washington County down 12.5%. Coyote country. Just saying. So those numbers are out that we're doing okay. We're up 2.7% over last year, it looks like. 79,457 as opposed to 77,382. So, do you know who Canine Ruckus is? Well, if you go to any DNR shows and the canine officer is there, Ruckus will be there as well. Following an investigation of illegal hunting and baiting in Patapsco Valley State Park, Maryland Natural Resources Police charged a Glen Burnie man with 17 infractions, including several weapons-related violations. On November 25th, a couple days before the deer firearm season started, officers responded to a report of deer stands and bait within the park. With the help of a tip, they located three subjects, including Richard Brown Sr., 38, near an ATV at the hunting site. According to police, Brown stated he was not hunting and that he had received permission to drive his ATV. Police say they found blood on Brown's ATV and on an arrow within his truck. Officer also found hunting equipment and supplies, including deer stands and two bags of corn from Bass Pro Shops in Brown's vehicle. Canine Ruckus was deployed to search the area. He located a loaded handgun on the opposite side of the ATV trail where Brown was originally located. According to police, Brown admitted to hunting at the site and shooting a deer 2 weeks earlier. Police say Brown also admitted to throwing the loaded handgun as police approached him, as well as removing two memory cards from a trail camera that was monitoring the site. Brown was charged with 17 violations on a court summons, including hunting where not permitted, having a weapon in a state park and other weapons charges, hunting with the use of bait, ATV use on public land, trespassing, littering, and theft. Brown is scheduled to appear in court at a later date. Two other subjects have not been charged by the incident. Anyone with information related to this case or others is encouraged to contact the Maryland Natural Resources Police tip line at 443-433-4112. How about that, Chris?
Nice.
No. Not nice, but I'm glad they caught the guy. I know what you
meant. The description and so forth.
Yes, I know what you meant. So, yes, indeed. So, any callers on the line there, Uncle Chris?
Yes, we have two. We've got Jim and we've got Bob.
Jim and Bob. All right, let's talk to Jim.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. It's the middle of winter and I have a few questions for you about crabs.
First, good. All right. Let's talk about crabs.
I really enjoy reading your publication, Maryland Loves Crabs.
Maryland Loves Crabs. Well, I appreciate that.
I like reading it. So last year, I try to get out once a week. Last year, I thought it was a terrible year until the middle of August, and then it was pretty good from the middle of August to the end of the season. And I was curious if you saw any numbers on it. Like, what did the numbers say? How is the state of Maryland going to report last year's harvest?
You know, I don't know what the numbers are going to be with the midwinter survey. I don't even know when the midwinter survey is. It's probably going on at the moment right now. I don't keep track of that, in the middle of it. But if I remember last year's survey, there were a tremendous number of immature crabs that'll be harvestable size this year. And the watermen were saying the same thing. Bunch of little crabs. You know, never seen so many little crabs. With a mild, go ahead.
So looking back at last year, I mean, what were people telling you? Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Was it an average year? Pretension.
If I were to call it from my viewpoint, I would say it was an average year. Now, early on, it was a horrible year.
Right.
Later on, after all the holidays, after Labor Day, people quit buying crabs. but you could buy crabs cheap. They were big and they were fat and they were plentiful. So okay. We may have to shift our paradigm as far as our buying of crabs for Maryland, because the early season, now remember, it was extremely cold. You know, I think if I remember right, they brought the cold weather into play on the midwinter survey. This year we didn't have that. So the midwinter survey is going to show a lot of crabs, I will think. I doubt if the crabs went as deep in the mud as they do when it's as cold as it was the winter before. I'm trying to do all this from memory. But
sure.
But the large number of immature crabs last year will be harvestable crabs this year.
That's a great optimistic viewpoint. I hope it comes true.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. We'll know. I think the winter survey comes out in March, but I'm not sure. We can Google that. If Robin were here, we'd Google it right now. But being on the air, it's hard to do. So if I have a chance to do that during the break, I will.
So. Great. Thanks again.
All right, man. Look forward to a good year, I think. Okay?
All right. Bye.
All right, man. Thanks. Bob is on the line. Let's talk to Bob.
Hello?
Yeah, Bob. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to talk to you, but just reminisce a little bit. I was born and raised over here on the Eastern Shore, and I've seen...
What part?
I was blessed to have access to Y Island.
Oh, yeah.
And Bennett's Point and the farms that go down from Bennett's Point Road.
Sure.
Down there. And as a kid, my stepfather's brothers, they actually tilled Y Island and Bennett's Point Farm and most of the major farms down there.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm. A couple brothers from Baltimore bought just about everything down there when waterfront wasn't mm-hmm. very valuable. Anyway, I was just really blessed to be able to grow up down there. My stepfather's brother-in-law, his name was Otto Capel. He was a major furrier down there. He used to buy furs when there was really a business.
Right.
As I was growing up, I noticed animals that were around, and they seemed to just go away. Some that come to mind were the quail, the bobwhite. And I can remember deer hunting as a kid, and you'd be sitting there waiting for a deer to come up, and you'd hear a covey of quail come walking up. It would sound like a herd of 10 or 20 deer approaching.
They can be noisy. There's no question.
I can remember my stepfather, you know, talking about, well, when he was a kid, there were no white-tailed deer around, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Mm-mm.
And he said, yes, that's actually true. And I can remember some of the species now that are being introduced, like the beaver, and my personal opinion, unfortunately, the coyote.
The beaver's always been here. Coyote is a relative newcomer, but they've been here for probably 40, 50 years, but their spread right now is dramatic. And there are coyotes in every county. They've established denning sites in every county, and they're very prolific. So the coyote, the red fox, the red-tailed hawk, the barred owl, the barn owl, and others, you know, other top-tier predators are very detrimental on the quail population, number one. The coyotes are, you know, despite what DNR says, I think the coyotes have more of a dramatic effect on the fawn recruitment than anything, because fawn recruitment's been falling for the last 4 or 5 years here in Maryland. So,
common sense, I think, would just have you come to that conclusion, I think.
I think you're right.
Rabbits, whitetail rabbits. I mean, they were so plentiful. It used to be you could actually see people out rabbit hunting, you know, with their trucks and their boxes with their dogs on the back. I mean, I don't know if you remember those days, but they seem like days gone by now almost.
Right.
A lot of that has to do with the way they till their farms now. They don't have the big hedges and brush that separate the fields and the farms like they
We have plenty of rabbits in those areas where some, you know, some CRP grass is allowed to grow and some fallow land is allowed to take over, and you do have some of those farms on the shore with hedgerows and so forth. But again, the predator population is just overwhelming right now, and it is what it is. And something's going to suffer. Like I said, big eats little. You know, strong eats weak, and predator eats prey. And sometimes the overwhelming predators will, you know, be more so than the prey can stand.
So. Yeah, that's pretty much common sense when it comes into the wildlife world.
Indeed.
I noticed these black vultures when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
All we ever saw were the turkey buzzards, the red, you know, headed little turkey buzzards.
Yep.
They weren't little.
Yeah.
Now you see vultures everywhere. That's something. I don't know whether you know anything about that. I was interested to try to pick your brain a little. And
well, the two species, the black vulture and the turkey buzzard, will actually interact. Or if it's black buzzard and turkey vulture, I don't know. They're kind of interchangeable. They do have a symbiotic relationship between the two. You remember I think it's Ohio used to, you know, watch for the return of the buzzards to some place in Ohio wherever they migrate to or from. I'm not sure about that, but
I think I do recall
something about like that. Yeah, something about that. But the symbiotic relationship is the fact that the turkey vulture of the two is the only one with a sense of smell.
That's interesting.
Okay. They both soar together. They both survey the landscape. They watch for, you know, roadkills and carrion and things like that. And the part of the symbiotic relationship comes in where the turkey vulture has the sense of smell and can detect decay at a further distance than the
yeah, you black. Would think a scavenger would have to have that sense.
Exactly. Yeah. But where it comes into play is when they all land near the carcass or on the carcass or whatever it might be, the black vulture is the one with the better bill strength and can open the carcass for all of them to feed.
Nature working like, hand in hand.
Yeah, they work together. They work together.
That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
So.
Well, thank you very much for your
All right, man. I appreciate it. You take care. Thank you. All righty. And I know we have a caller on the line because
well, we have
Pat.
Pat, and then after Pat, we've also got Walt, and we've also got to get a break in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, let's talk to Pat, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk to Walt. How's that?
Okay.
Good morning. Pat?
Hey, good morning to you.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I was listening earlier. You played the Moving On song.
Yeah.
Big Wheels Rolling, Moving On.
Yep, that's right.
Do you know they filmed one of those episodes in Severna Park?
I did not.
Okay, this is back maybe late 70s, early 80s. I lose track of the time.
Yeah.
I was a dentist over here.
Okay.
And they had these two advanced people come in, checked out my office, because they're doing an episode with a dentist in it.
Right.
Turned out they didn't choose my office, but half a mile down the road right across from Severna Park High School was a orthodontist, a guy named John Porter, and they wound up filming the episode there.
So that's pretty funny.
You've got me wanting to look on YouTube or something. And
yeah. Claude Akins and
check that out again.
Was it Claude Akins and Frank Converse?
Yep. I couldn't remember Claude Akins, but I remembered Frank Converse because we're Anna Green Gables fans, and he wound up in Anna Green Gables.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, buddy. Well, that's a trip down memory lane, isn't it?
It was a trip down memory lane. You had the guy call from northern, up north of Baltimore, where the bass were gone, and they're back.
Yeah.
We also have the pickerel back here in the Severn. They've been gone for 3 years. And all of a sudden, this fall, a lot of guys with pickerel fish are starting to catch pickerel again. Some of them decent size, over 20 inches.
That's nice.
And one of my questions has been, as I've been talking to my buddies, where have they been for 3 years? You got any ideas? Because they don't come back 21 inches all of a sudden.
I have no idea. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to me.
They took a vacation in Florida.
Yeah, I think they may have moved to Delaware or something. You know, who knows?
Yeah. But it's fun having them back. There's a lot of them out there.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I will be over at the Early Heights show this morning.
Enjoy that.
I've been going there for years.
Go see Cap.
My grandkids, but they're going skiing today.
Good for them.
Things change.
Say hi to Captain Dan at the Bay Country Crabbing Supply. Tell him I talked about him on the radio.
I heard the commercial before that, and I use the Battery Warehouse people. I stop in at Clyde, so
got it.
You got some good advertisers.
I do.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop. You know, their Let's Go Fishing 10-day sale starts March 6th through Sunday, March 15th. Tackle for perch and trout are all on sale, as well as the Clark Spoons and the Sea Striker Planers for trolling. The kids' combos starting in 1995. They got the Penn Spinning Reels on sale featuring the Battle 2 series. I think there's 8 or 9 in the series. And then the Pfluger Spinning Reels as well. The Pfluger President's a really nice spinning reel at a really reasonable price. And they have the President series on sale as well. Shakespeare, Ugly Stick, Pfluger Rods and Reels all on sale. And you can save on premium monofilament line at just half price. Take your empty spools in, have them spool it up with premium monofilament, whether it's Strand or Berkeley or Shakespeare or one of those, and you can get that all done for half price starting at just 1 cent per yard. Live and frozen bait and minnows, St. Croix rods, fishing license, rod reel repairs, and everything else for fishing, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That's Clyde's Sports Shop. You'll be glad you did. Let's see. Oh, it's time to talk about the 75th Annual National Outdoor Show. February 28th and 29th. The address, physical address, is 3485 Golden Hill Road in Church Creek. It's at the school down there in South Dorchester. Admission's just $8 for adults, $4 for kids. This is home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. It's a weekend of fun for the whole family, entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all kinds of merchandise. You can savor local seafood delicacies or muskrat cooked the old-fashioned way. You're now in muskrat country. The heartland of sportsmen, trappers, watermen, and wildlife. The folks in Dorchester County are proud to show that the best comes from their boot-sucking marshes and the flowing waters that surrounds them. Most of all, they hope to share the unique spirit and character of their hard-working people who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in their traditional old-school ways. Enjoy the heartland of Maryland. That's Dorchester County, February 28, 29, 2020. We'll see you at the 75th Annual National Outdoor Show. For more information, visit nationaloutdoorshow.org. We'll be right back after this.
Well, after frigid Valentine's, we try to head uphill this weekend. South winds kick in today, and I think tomorrow and Monday they do take us back above average, actually, into the 50s. Our high this afternoon at 35. Low tonight, even freeze, not as cold as last night. Sunday, partly cloudy, high 51, and low 50s for Monday. Next chance for rain Tuesday early next week, about a quarter of an inch of rain advertised Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Whether it be Mag, Marty, Robbins turned up. Hey, boys, I'm getting nervous. My knees are getting weak. I can almost see them coming out of them trees. Big bulls, big bucks, mountain roads and pickup trucks. Hunting all day just to catch a glimpse of big bulls, big bucks.
Big bulls and big bucks. Forget who's on the line. Is it Martin?
It's Walt.
Walt. Sorry. Walt, good morning. How are you, Walt?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
I just wanted to call and thank you for the tickets to the Harrisburg show.
We went
Thursday. Great show. Just walked a good hard 7 hours and still only got about two-thirds of the way done.
Yeah.
But and get really confused there with all the things you're looking at. You know, really amazing, but I appreciate it. I hadn't been for about the last 20 years, I guess, and so the other Walt and I, you know, we've called a few times, but
sure.
We went up there and had a really great day, and it was all thanks to you.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I really am, so that's good. I didn't make it this year. I mean, you know, we were on a deadline, and I just had to get things done for the quarterly, so it's all good, and I know it's a wonderful show, and I'm always glad to have them as a sponsor and more than glad to share the tickets with folks, so. They didn't send us as many this year as they had in the past. They usually sent us like 24. This year we were limited to 12 tickets, so some folks didn't get them. But we'll try to fix that for next year, see what happens.
Sounds good. And, I really do appreciate it. In fact, Walt and I were meeting up this morning, and we're going up to one of the display, people that display off-road motorsports. It's up in Jonestown, PA.
Got it.
A guy was talking really good. He had some used ATVs and some new ones on special, so we're going to go up and take a look.
Go take a look.
Yeah, Walt and I, we're both in our 70s now, and we've been toying with the idea of getting some ATVs instead of trucking, a mile and a half across the farm.
Yeah, makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, own up to it.
I can tell how old you are by the use of the term trucking.
Yeah, there you go. And, we've tried to hold off as long as we can, but, you know, time's creeping up on us.
Yep, that's true. That is true. So, well, I'm just glad that at my advanced age, I'm able to still climb in my climber stand and get up in a tree. So that's just every time I do it, it's like, wow, that's cool.
One more time. Yeah, well, I had both knees replaced, so using my climber stand out with the second knee.
Yeah, I guess it would.
I got a good tree stand with an aluminum ladder. It's all camouflaged.
That's nice.
And
yeah,
I do that for a bow, and then I'm using a ground blind, a homemade ground blind, and I've done really well out of that during gun season. So.
Oh, good, good. Glad to hear that. All right. Well, I think I might be going to the ground blind here in a year or two. So.
There you go.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you for all you do.
No problem. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so anybody on the line, Chris?
No, sir.
Okay, so I'm looking online. The black vulture is known as the American black vulture. It's a New World vulture, just like the turkey vulture or turkey buzzard, whose range extends from the southeastern United States to central Chile and Uruguay in South America. So they do not come from Africa. They come from South America. Then the turkey vulture, is also a New World vulture. And it is a North American, and it comes from some areas. It inhabits some areas of the Caribbean, but mostly North America. And here's a question I don't even want to explore. How can you eat turkey vultures? The only feathered beast I would recommend you avoid is the vulture. Yeah, you don't want to eat something like that. But what do you call a group of vultures, Chris?
A pack? I don't know.
Well, they have three different names. How about that for the groups? A group of vultures is called a kettle, like a kettle on the stove, a committee, or a wake. The kettle refers to vultures in flight. You know, you see them on the cell towers and circling, you know, riding the wind currents.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of vultures in flight is called a kettle. A committee is vultures resting on the ground or in trees. And a wake is reserved for a group of vultures that are feeding.
Very interesting.
You ever see them hopping along there on a
yes.
deer carcass? You know, they're all ganged up there with their...
Yes.
Yeah, that's called a wake. So we do cover a wide range of topics here on the Outdoors and Radio Show, from striped bass, crabs, bass fishing, to coyotes, to, well, you name it. That's why I like doing this show, because our audience, you know, tends to ask the questions or, you know, leads us in a direction, and then, you know, one feeds upon the other, so to speak. But I just like doing this. I'm sorry Sparky wasn't here today. She just crashed out here after the show. I mean, when we started, she was gonna try and make it, but she just didn't make it. So, and Chris, you did a wonderful job. Do we have any last minute callers, or are we about done?
Well, it just so happens I've got somebody on the line right now.
Well, let's talk to him. Who are they?
Hold on. Your first name, please. It's Greg.
Greg, let's talk to Greg real quick. Greg.
Morning, Al. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just referring to your definition of the group of vultures.
Yeah.
There's two more you left out. One
okay.
The other is Congress.
What is it? Congress and what else?
Lawyers and Congress.
Say the first one again. I didn't catch it.
Lawyers.
Lawyers and Congress.
Yes.
Ah, yes. Well, I thought that was... I'll go with that. Lawyers and Congress. Good job. Yes. Very nice. Very nice. We'll end the show on that one. A group of vultures is called Congress. How about General Assembly? Oh, my gosh. Well, that's lawyers. I mean, that's a bunch of lawyers. So.
All right.
Thanks again, buddy. All right. There's the music, ladies and gentlemen. That means we've